You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I am joined, per usual, with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain. What is up, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And today, what we wanted to discuss is conflict resolution, right? Conflict resolution. So actually, I was in a class in law school. It was on alternative dispute resolution, right? ADR. And in that class, I was watching The Office at the time. That was one of the shows, on Michael Scott, all those kind of things.
The win-win-win.
Yes, yeah. And so in that class, before our class started, we were in a study group, together. And somebody said something, and it reminded me of The Office. And I said, are you an Office fan? And the girl looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, never mind. There's a show on. It doesn't matter. So we get into class, and the professor says something. Also reminds me of The Office. So in the middle of the class, the professor says that, and I immediately jump in. I'm like, ha, you must be an Office fan. And the professor looks at me like, what?
What are you talking about?
And the girl from the study group said, he watches The Office. He wants to know if you're a fan of that show. Anyway, silly thing there.
That's super. The episode where they have the conflict. I don't know if you remember. And he's like, you should wear the shirt of the calendar like to see, because now you don't have to look at it.
That's right.
Good episode.
I was definitely an embarrassing moment for me. My wife cringes every time I tell that. So now I've told all of you. So you're welcome for that. Anyhow, so the three kind of four phases we're going to kind of look at with conflict resolution is in B&I in particular, right? In the Winning Edge, B&I has a kind of protocol that they use. Winning Edge, we try to stick to that protocol per the guidelines. So we'll talk through that in B&I in particular. What does conflict resolution look like? We also wanted to look at three other pieces as well. One is as a business owner, as a manager, CEO, whatever your may be. If you have an employee A and has a conflict with employee B, what does that resolution process look like? So we'll talk to that. Also, what about a business with a customer or a client? You have a conflict with a customer or client. What does that look like as far as that resolution goes? And then finally, personally, right? You have a friend, you have an acquaintance, you have somebody, a family member even, and you have some kind of a conflict. What is the best way to, resolve that?
Before we jump into those four, I think the reality is this. Being a human and dealing with other humans, you're going to have conflict. And so I think this is an important episode because it's going to give us hopefully some good tools to use, not only in our chapters you mentioned, but also in just some other things. So hopefully everybody realizes that this is an important subject, especially if you're going to do well in life, because if you just try to avoid conflict, it's not going to happen. So you got to have some real tools to navigate through it. So I'm excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start with B&I. So you're in a B&I chapter, you're in the Winning Edge chapter in particular, and there's some kind of an issue, right, that you have, some kind of a concern that you have with another member in the chapter. Do you know right offhand, again, fairly new member to B&I, Andrew, but do you kind of know what that process would do? What would you need to do in order to initiate the concern or written complaint process?
Well, I think, one of the things that comes off, we have a lot of different titles and leads in our chapter. And I know we have, I think it's Jody who works a lot with our membership. So I would imagine that would be a good place to go. Obviously we'll be, certain conflicts and you're going to just take directly. And that's where we're going to, we'll probably start out with talking to the other person, but I would imagine that's what, looking at those, instead of just my fellow B&I members, hey, there's a process and some group and some leaders in place. So
you and I, before we started recording, one of the things we were looking up some conflict resolution articles. We got a few things that we're pulling from here as well. We also talked, hey, are there any books on conflict resolution that you've read through? And what did you mention? The Art of War.
Yeah, The Art of War.
So there are certainly some books out there. I think for me personally, and again, take this for what it's worth, but for me, the best conflict resolution guidelines that I've ever run across is in Matthew 18, right? 15 through 20. And so I'll just share this real quick, just so that folks kind of know what this looks like here. And I'll kind of use it for in B&I terms or in, you know, business terms. You know, it says, if your brother, and you can, you know, a substitute in there, if a friend, if your acquaintance, if your family member, if your employee, if your client, if you're
all know, these different
all
things,
all of the above,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. If this individual does something against you, somehow, you know, there's an issue or concern, you know, go and tell that person, right, about that issue. And between you and this individual alone, you know, and if the individual listens to you, you know, you've gained a friend, you've gained a brother, you've gained a sister by doing so. But that's step one.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you asked that question like the B&I process, and you know, obviously, I think that's the thing that we need to hit first. But there are those people, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming here in a moment. But yeah, I think we should all be adults, and you know, we're leading businesses, and we got other things we got our hands in, and we got, you know, hopefully in our chapter. You know, anytime we're having those conflicts, we start out with just, hey, let's have a one-to-one conversation. Let's figure out what's going on. Because a lot of those times, you know, what I've learned specifically in conflict is that, wow, I didn't realize, hey, I had part of the issue there. I just thought it was me. But maybe, you know, I said this or did this that helped create the situation. So you can kind of learn a lot. So it's just starting that one-to-one level.
Yeah, and ultimately, and we are going to go through the B&I, you know, process of a written complaint here in a moment. But again, I would encourage, right, every member, whether you're a member of the Winning Edge or another B&I chapter, you know, there's an article we have, 4 steps to resolve conflict, and they use the CARE model, C-A-R-E, communicates, C, actively listen, A, review options, R, and E, end with a win-win solution. Again, communication is key. It could be a possibility that the individual that you have an issue with isn't even aware of the issue, right?
Yeah.
It is true. There are individuals that lack self-awareness, right? Or maybe aren't as keen on self-awareness. All of us have blind spots.
Sure.
And unless a friend, you know, comes and identifies that blind spot and helps you see that, you may not see it. So just communicate. I mean, a lot of times that's able to solve the issue right there and we're done.
Yeah, I think with that piece of communication, it's also how you say it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to attack somebody when you start out like, hey, I've got this issue, mm-hmm. you know, like you're a horrible person or something. I mean, that's just, it's not a great way of doing it. I think specifically in our chapter, the way I look at it is this, if you've got 60 plus members who are paying a fee to be in this, then you know that they've got some...
They're invested.
Yeah, they're invested. So they're not coming at this in some arbitrary fashion. Mm-hmm. They want to be there, you know? And so if you start out that, then you know, wait a second, if there is a conflict... And there can be, you know, I'm not denying that. But if there is a conflict, let's not assume the worst from the beginning. Let's assume like, well, wait a second, maybe there's a misunderstanding. So that communication is key. And I think how you communicate is very key.
I remember a little while back, I was listening to an individual speaking. And one of the things, he was doing some marriage counseling is what he was talking about. And one of the things he mentioned is he always has the husband and wife sit down and he asks each, right, hey, you know, give us, here's a pie. You know, pull a little pie chart. I want you to mark out the amount of that pie chart or amount of that pie that is your responsibility for the conflict that you currently have in your marriage, right? And then has the husband do it, has the wife do it, and they come back together. You know, a lot of times there's a little sliver. You know, maybe a 10% mark or 5% mark, even. You know, maybe sometimes a little bit bigger than that. And then what this individual said is, all right, I don't want you to look at the other 85% or 90% or 95%. I want you to only focus in on that little 5%. You've willingly stated that is your responsibility. All right, let's focus on that now. What can we do, right, for you to better take care of that issue? And again, for your spouse or for your friend or for your acquaintance, for your referral partner, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. I think that's certainly a good strategy to take there. But anyway, number one, communicate, right?
Yeah, very good.
Number two for this CARE model is actively listen. Actively listen. And that goes both ways, right? That's certainly from the individual who is bringing the conflict. Like you said, how you say it, how you bring this a potential issue to this individual is going to either put this person on the defensive right off the bat or maybe even set them off and they go on the offensive immediately. Either way, though, again, how you approach that is important. And after you've given or stated what you have got to say, Now let's put on our listening ears, right? And again, this is from both perspectives. If I have somebody, Andrew, you come to me, you say, Chris, man, I have an issue with the way you're doing business. I have an issue with the way that you've followed up on a referral or lack of follow-up. I have an issue with fill in the blank. I need to, as a part of the chapter, say to you, I am going to actively listen to you. When you come to me, I'm not just going to blow it off. I'm not just going to say, oh, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to actively listen. And sometimes in the moment that can be difficult, right? But we need to, you know, take a deep breath, right? Think about these things, actively listen from both ways. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the ways that we do that, I think you explained that very well. So then some practical tips on how to do it is give people eye contact, you know? Don't be continually glancing at your phone or other things. If somebody's sharing something, if somebody's taking the time to be like, look, I want to handle this because that to me is a big step because they're wanting to make things right and do well by both of you. So, you know, have a body language that says, hey, I'm listening to you. But the other thing is this, is don't put up a wall. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I'm trying to learn more and more in my life is like, look, conflict actually is a bed sometimes for growth. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody is challenging me on something, don't trying to separate the personal of that, you know, and say, wait a second, if they're taking the time to share, hey, look, I think you could do this better, then what in essence that person is saying to me is, man, I think you have a whole lot higher ceiling, you know, and that to me is kind of an encouraging thing. Yeah. So the point is like, it creates, you know, what you can do with your own body language of saying, hey, I am listening. I am paying attention to what you say.
I did want to kind of go back to this idea of going directly to the individual, communicating, actively listening. Years ago, I had an issue with an individual. I felt like there was a problem, but instead of me going directly to that individual, I kind of went around, right, and got other people involved before ever going to him directly. I still regret doing that today. It definitely impacted our relationship. It's not as strong as it could be otherwise. Fortunately, there's been reconciliation in that relationship. But again, it didn't have to ever get to that point. It got nasty for a little while. And again, don't want to go into detail. Not going to name names, anything like that. But I will say that one of the ways that I allowed a situation to escalate and get, you know, out of control, as opposed to kind of, hey, let's just deal with it, was that right there. So communicate. Number two, actively listen. Number three, review options, right? Talk over the options. Look for solutions that benefit everyone. You know, don't feel pressured to come up with one answer immediately. You know, bring in, if needed, bring in objective third parties. Hey, you know what? We're having a hard time communicating with one another. And maybe that's what we find. Maybe we're interrupting each other all the time per the presidential debate. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what may be going on? But maybe we're not communicating all that well. Maybe we need a third party. Here's the deal. We got 61 members in the chapter, right? And I am certain that there are members in the chapter that would be more than willing to come in and help facilitate, mediate, whatever that conflict may be.
Yeah, I think we had our meeting on October. We're recording this on a Tuesday. So today's meeting, I'm trying to give that date. So somebody listens to it in the future. But October 27th, either our president or vice president listed a quote. Sean's our president of our chapter. Chris, our vice president, where it's like, and I know I'm saying this kind of paraphrasing it, but like, we're not in competition against each other. Yeah. We're just trying to be better ourselves.
Yeah.
And when I see this option right here, talking about reviewing options, if we look at conflict as just a thing to win or lose, then what we're looking at the wrong way. You know, it's not a thing of winning or losing, like against that other person, like, hey, to prove your point, or they're going to belittle you because you're wrong. It's about, okay, how are we actually going to get better from this? So I think it's very important to if you frame it that way, so when you can kind of lower your emotional pull that you know, so you don't have to respond out of anger or frustration or some of these things that could be destructive. If you can frame it like, wait a second, I'm not against you. You're not against me. We're seeing something differently. So let's figure out a way to make this a better thing. Because again, it goes back, in my opinion, to, hey, we're all invested in this thing together. I need you to succeed for me to succeed, and vice versa. So try to review those options in that framework instead of a you versus me situation.
And, you know, another thing I think that is helpful when you're dealing with conflict, and this is something, you know, in my marriage, right? This is something that I think has been critical. You know, early on in my marriage, I think I would not give my wife the benefit of the doubt. on things, right? I would assume the worst. There's an issue, there's something happened, there's a problem, and I'm assuming the worst instead of assuming the best, instead of, you know, thinking, well, certainly she didn't intend this, right? Certainly she didn't want this outcome. This is the outcome that has occurred. But again, it's not because that was the desire there, you know? And so when you have conflict, I think a lot of times immediately our mind takes us to, this individual's out to hurt me, this individual's out to get me, this individual's out to, you know, whatever. And I would say if that's the angle that we're coming from, we're going to have a harder time getting to resolution that way than if we're assuming and giving the individual the benefit of the doubt. And if somebody tells you something and they look at you, look in your eye, they tell you something, listen, I'm going to take your word for it, right? You're telling me the truth. I have no reason to believe that you're being dishonest to me unless you give me some reason to believe that at some point. But until that point, man, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a great way of doing it. So I'll just echo those words. Give that benefit of the doubt. It's a wonderful way of looking at it.
And so we have, again, number one, communicate. Number two, actively listen. Number three, review options. And the last one here is end with a win-win solution. Again, at the winning edge, right? That's our chapter name, The Winning Edge. We are looking to win. The way that we win is by being the best referral partners we can be, right? We believe in this idea of giver's gain, right? You give to others, and we do believe that there's going to be a desire for others to give back to you. Again, you don't give with an expectation of getting that back, right? I'm not giving to you, Andrew, and thinking, well, you know, you sure
about time you give to me, right? Yeah.
They're better quid pro quo. Yeah, yeah. And we've heard a lot of that recently. Anyhow, we give without that expectation coming back. But anyway, a win-win solution. It's the ultimate goal, right? To agree on an option that benefits both sides to some extent, right? When one party wins by aggressive behavior, or one party simply gives in, someone is losing, right? So let's see if we can't find a way for both to win. In fact, I think going through maybe the alternative dispute resolution class in law school, I think one of the things that came out of that was the best mediator is an individual who's able to, you know, both parties are walking out feeling like they lost. If you think, now that may, when we're talking about win-win solution, that may not sound like what we're looking at there, but the idea behind that is both parties gave in.
Yeah,
right? Both parties said, you know what, if I had 100% of what I want, this is where it would be, and neither party walks away with 100%, but maybe both parties walk away with, you know, 90% of what they were looking for, you know. So there are win-win options. Look for those win-win options.
Yeah, I think one of the, it seems like we're hitting on this theme again of, okay, how you frame these, understand you're on the same side already, you know, all that's so important in this one win. But I'll take it one step further for me. It's this, it's that in my experience in business, my experience in working in volunteer work or ministry work, in my experience working with all kinds of different individuals, and then in my personal experience, what I've learned is this, is that resolved conflict creates a stronger relationship. Yeah. Because the reality is this, is that that's, to me, that's the biggest win. That I guess I come at every situation as like, we're going to have problems. You know, I don't want to be that guy, but I do think that. So it's like, I'm already expecting some challenge because life has taught me there's going to be challenges. And specifically with our B&I chapter, the more we keep growing and we want to grow, just realize this, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to say something to offend you. Somebody's going to post something on a social media site that you're not going to like. There's something, okay? If you come at it that way, but then you also realize, wait a second, we're in this still together. And if we will get through these conflicts, follow some of these steps that we're talking about, and then get to a solution, a workable solution, what you'll find is that will create a deeper relationship mm-hmm. with more layers over time. Yep. And I think it's an important way of looking at things.
Which simply creates a stronger, like you said, a stronger bond moving forward, which means that friendship, that referral partnership that you have is only growing stronger and stronger.
Yeah, because you might learn something in that. Yeah. For example, if you've got a referral partner in our chapter, or if you're listening to this from another chapter, and that you're not seeing eye to eye, and then you actually address that, you may come to find out the reason you weren't seeing that eye to eye is because actually you all have maybe similar personalities and you're just looking at it different. And once you see each other's perspective, then you might become great referral partners. I mean, right. I've heard of, not necessarily in our personal B&I chapter, but I've heard that same scenario play out in so many other areas of life. Mm-hmm. Once you resolve those conflicts, wow, sometimes that becomes some of your closest, deepest people. So
yeah, and you I don't know if you've seen this, like a picture online. You have two individuals standing on two sides. In the middle of the road, there's a six or a nine, depending upon which side. And both of them are right. And again, that idea of the benefit of the doubt, and again, assuming the best of the other person, especially in this world we live in, 2020, man, is most, polarized time, I think, that we can think of in recent history. So again, assume the best, man. Do the best you can to create unity as opposed to creating disunity, obviously. So anyhow, the four steps again: communicate, actively listen, review options, and end with a win-win solution. A couple more things we'll go over, and then we'll shut down the episode. But the question that I wanted to ask you, Andrew, is this: do you think the way that an individual resolves or doesn't resolve conflict, do you think that impacts their credibility with the individuals that are involved in that situation?
Yes.
Yeah. How so?
Well, I mean, either if they don't resolve conflict, it's going to be negative because that person is still assuming you got person A and person B and they have a conflict and person A did not resolve it with person B and vice versa, I suppose. But person B then is going to think of person A like probably the worst thoughts at times, like he's going to assume the worst or, you know, so it creates a bad harmony between those two, which I believe is going to affect everybody. I mean, we've all been in situations where, whoa, the tension's so thick in certain rooms between these people that it's affecting all. So I think it has a negative effect on not only that relationship, but it can have a negative effect on the rest. And then inverse of that, when, you know, we've referenced some presidential elections, I'll never forget when John McCain in the Obama, when they were going against each other for the presidency, and somebody in the audience started kind of bashing Obama as a person, and McCain stopped him and said, no, I'm against him policy, but not as a human. Right. And that all has made an impact because why? And that you could tell there was like a switch then. I mean, they had a respect for each other. And so it's like when you resolve that conflict, it now seems to multiply in the positive. So I would say yes to that, and it can be for the negative or for the good.
And you got to be more specific. If I come to you, right, I have an issue with you, Andrew, right, and I come to you, we talk through it, whether we're able to resolve that conflict, whether we have to get outside individuals or not, are you going to have more or less respect for me that I came directly to you when what if instead of coming directly to you, I go to somebody else, a third
party? Less respect.
Yeah. Again, just from strictly a credibility standpoint, again, when you try to deal with these issues head on, like you said earlier, we're all adults, right? We're all professionals. Let's act like it, you know? And I think when we do that, obviously the chapter's better as a result. And I think individually we're better as well. Yeah. So again, we've talked about the B&I process a little bit. In the event that you do this, you go to the individual, you're not able to resolve the conflict. The process within B&I is this. You're going to go to, you mentioned Jody Hawley earlier. She is currently our member relations chair. Used to be called Cares and Concerns, or as Sandra Day used to call it, she's a no drama mama. She doesn't want to have any drama in the chapter. I think we all agree with that. But with that being said, there sometimes is drama. So there is sometimes conflict, as you've mentioned here today. So in the event that happens, in order to initiate some kind of a process, there has to be in writing. If you simply come to Jody and talk to her and tell her, hey, I have an issue, it's not sufficient. The membership committee will not be initiating any kind of a conflict resolution process. In the event that you do put that in writing, membership committee has 48 hours to respond to the individual, the complainant, right? Jody has 24 hours to let the rest of membership committee know that a written complaint has been filed. And then membership committee has 48 hours to respond to that individual. And then the process moving forward beyond that is membership committee does what they can to schedule interviews with the complaining party and with the party who's being complained against to get both sides, right? And then once that has happened, sometimes there's need for additional investigation. If so, we take that action. Eventually, what happens is membership committee takes all the facts as they have gathered them, and then they weigh all of the facts, and then they have to come up with some kind of a solution. Again, the idea is that hopefully we can reach a win-win with these things. Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes individuals come in, and what they want out of this is what? the individual out of the chapter. They don't want them in the chapter. Well, that may or may not be a resolution that is reached by membership committee. Again, membership committee is made up of five individuals. If an individual is either the complainant or if the individual is the person being complained against and that person sits on membership committee, well, that person obviously would be recused from this process. We'd bring in an outside, somebody else in the chapter as a reserved person to come in and, if need be, to come in and take a part of that process as well. So just so that everybody's aware, that's what that process looks like. Yeah, for the BNI.
I'm grateful we have that process and I'm thankful we have people that will sit in those roles and, make sure that we're doing things well. But just as someone who is not in that role and someone who heard that, how much easier then is to, okay, let's just handle this individually if we can. Obviously there are some situations that might not be the case, and I'm not trying to, obviously belittle those, but if we just have, a situation where we can just, hey, one-on-one, let's just talk about this, let's figure this out. Because as great as that is, all those individuals, they're still, that's a big process. There's a lot going on, and I'm grateful, again, that we have it, but it might be easier.
Absolutely. No doubt about
mano
it.
Mano a mano, woman a woman.
Yes, yeah. Yes, for sure. And so we've talked about the BNI. Now, real quick, I just want to kind of differentiate between these next three, and the answer may be the same, and if it is, so be it. But let's say, for example, CEO, right, Jericho Road, you've served in other capacities at different times in your life.
Started out as a janitor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's say you have two individuals who are employees, two people maybe that you're supervising, managing, and they come into conflict with one another. You hear about the conflict. What do you do?
Well, as a supervisor, my first job, if it's already coming to me, then my first question is, have you tried to handle this yourself? Mm-hmm. Then from that point,
let's say the answer is yes, they've already gone one-on-one and it great. Wasn't resolved.
So if it has, then I've got to weigh out the evidence depending on what the situation is. I got to weigh out the evidence and depending again on the gravity of other people, I may have to get involved, or if it's something I can handle by myself. I tend not to, because that I don't want to make just unilateral decisions a lot. That's challenging. However, it becomes a more of a challenging situation there, because you're dealing with potentially a he said, she said type of thing. And you are having to make a judgment call from, the evidence that's presented before you. But it really starts with, and it's interesting, I'm going to reference our episode again today, or excuse me, our meeting again today, and where Sean was talking. We did a quiz about culture, mm-hmm. and what thing do we need to really make this chapter effective?
Yeah, what's most important? I think he had, thank you for closed business. We had friendships. We had culture.
And there was one other, and I can't remember, but it's an easy answer. It's culture. And yeah. I think we're going to be doing an episode on that at some point. The point, though, is that I try to go back to that kind of stuff beforehand in those things. So, we have core values. I'm like, look, are we doing these things? Are all the stuff that we're trying to teach, are we accomplishing that with this conflict? And then unfortunately, if that can't resolve it, we then end with some, hey, we've got to make some decisions. And, some of those can be pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. So as far as unfortunately, maybe letting somebody go or, demotion or a lot of different things. So
would the process of care, would that work in that situation? Communicate. You want to communicate with both employees.
Yeah. I mean, this right here is,
pretty standard, yeah, regardless of the conflict.
It's just good stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to have the four things we talked about: communication and listening and reviewing the options and trying to get to the best solution that you possibly can. So that care, this is a great way of doing it.
And again, I'm going to skip over customer client because I think that might be a little bit different than the last one. But you have a friend, you have a family member, you have an acquaintance, you have some kind of a personal conflict. What would that process look like? Would it be very similar?
It's very similar. I mean, I'll relate it to my wife. I mean, we've been married now going on 14 years, mm-hmm. We've obviously had our fair share of conflict, but the first and the primary thing is we need to talk. We got to do this. And we have a rule. We're not going to go to bed angry with each mm-hmm. other. We won't do it.
Yeah.
We're going to solve this today. We're going to figure it out. That doesn't mean we're always like yippee with each other, but we know the direction. Mm-hmm. And that's been a hard, fast rule in our relationship. And that's been the same case. And I don't mean to make this so much about me, but it's been the case with my relationship. I live by this motto, I have short accounts. I don't want,
yeah.
I don't want this stuff going on. So it's that same thing again. And there are times, you know, there are times, and I've been in situations with conflict with individuals where we've had to get another party involved. Because there are things that you may be so inflamed about in that you can't see it with the clearest perspective. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't think it's a failure to get somebody else involved by no means, but it's always been that same. Let's start out individually and see if we can accomplish where we need to go.
The truth of the matter is everything's not black and white. You know, I wish it were. I wish everything was really black and white. But because there is so much gray, I mean, that's why I have a job, right? That's why, as an attorney, I'm able to work out there, because there are things that ultimately fit into a gray box. It's not clearly defined as black or as white. And as a result of that, we have to deal with these things. But we have to clearly flesh them out, right?
Yeah.
And try to determine, all right, what do we need? What's the issue, first of all? What are the facts? And how do we handle these facts accordingly? And you said something there. You said, well, I don't mean to, you know, keep coming back to myself. Well, here's the truth of the matter is everybody in the chapter is welcome to come and join us. The reason Andrew and I are the two that are having the conversation today is because, unfortunately, nobody else was able to come today. And that's okay. You know, sometimes we're going to have these, and that's good. I appreciate Andrew being here, or else I'd just be talking to myself. So this is much better. But if you would like to come on and join us for an episode of the Winning Edge podcast, again, just reach out to myself, reach out to Andrew. We'll get you. Again, we record right after the Tuesday meetings. Is the time. So just reach out to us and we'll get you on, and we'll you know, talk about you, talk about your business, and talk about, you know, some other content that we see deemed necessary. But anyway, the last thing here is customers, clients. Would you say there's if a client has a problem with your business, maybe online, maybe social media, somebody gives you a bad review, what would be a good way to kind of handle that?
The only thing that we do, you know, from my experience, we do a little bit different there is sometimes if there's a customer making a complaint about a certain employee that is in a non-supervisory role, and even if they're making a complaint about somebody in a supervisory role, we if they're already bringing it to us at that level, then I look at it like they've already bypassed that first step of handling it at that one-to-one level. Mm-hmm. So we now will get somebody else involved. Yeah. But in essence, it's still that same format. Like, again, our example, we have stores, and sometimes we get complaints at our stores, okay? 9 times out of 10, those complaints at the stores, they've already talked a little bit about that at the store. You know, right. Hey, they just couldn't get resolved, so then they had to bring somebody else in. And so, you know, even before the episode, we were talking, well, this one may be a little bit different, but as I think through it, it's really not even mm-hmm. different, because mm-hmm. they've already tried to handle it. They right. couldn't, you know, and then we tried to handle it from maybe a position that's higher than somebody there. So, it's that same thing again, you know. Hey, let's see if we can resolve this. If we can't, we're going to try to resolve it now with a third party.
Let me just, and again, you know, it's always a bad idea when you're concluding an episode or concluding something and you bring in something new. But let me just, there's an article here from the National Center for Biotechnology Information, NCBI, and they mentioned this, the common underlying principles of all of these models of conflict management. And they talk about difficult conversations with difficult people. And I just wanted to share this real quick, again, take it for what it's worth. But number one was this, conflict is inevitable, right? And that both positive and negative consequences may occur depending upon how the conflict is managed. So when you're going through this, right, communicate, try to determine the facts, decipher what is true from what is not true, and then make decisions moving forward. The second, number two, the results are likely to be better with active engagement rather than avoidance, right? I think a lot of us want to be like the ostrich, right? Go stick our head in the sand. I don't want to deal with this. It'll go away. Unfortunately, conflict rarely simply disappears and goes away. Number three, people must be motivated to address conflict. I think there's some people out there that are so afraid of conflict, they want to avoid conflict. Like they could do number one, they either avoid it or they're not motivated to address it. But again, all that's going to happen there is you're going to get sick to your stomach, right? The stress level is going to go up in your life. And again, as we've talked about in previous episodes, that stress can really manifest itself in dangerous, unhealthy ways, unhealthy ways. Number four, behavioral, cognitive, and emotional skills can be acquired. Right? Let me say that again. Behavioral, cognitive, and emotional skills can be acquired. If you find as you're going through this, hey, you know, I have a weakness in this area, that area, there's education out there. Again, lifelong learner in BNI, right? There's ways that you can learn and grow in those areas. Number five, emotional skills require self-awareness. I think we briefly mentioned self-awareness earlier. Sometimes we can be blind to certain things. We have blind spots in our lives. Again, have those individuals in your life who you give free rein to talk into your life and say, hey, you know, you're missing on something here. I know you don't see it, but let me make you aware and be willing to listen, right? And then number six, the environment must be neutral and feel safe when you're looking to resolve conflict. So anyway, that's from, again, the NCBI there. But as we close it down, Andrew, again, communicate, actively listen, review options, end with a win-win solution. Any other final thoughts?
Well, my last one, and I'll close on this, is that sometimes conflict is a result because we actually got our own things going on in our own life. Mm-hmm. And I would just challenge everybody listening to this to, you know, handle your business, you know, handle the things. Don't allow to the best of your ability, you know, if there's some challenges going on that really isn't something else with somebody else. It's not a challenge with somebody else, but it's just there, you know, take some time, figure those things out, work those things out, because, you know, we're all dealing with those things, and we need to come to our meeting and to our group with, as full as we possibly can. So we're not trying to pull from other people. So I just issue that challenge to each one of the members, you know, do the best you can to take care of yourself so you can come in as a great person for everybody else.
I agree with that. And I'll mention this too, you know, don't dwell on the things that are outside of your control. Right. And there are things outside of our control, as much as we'd hate that. Again, we like control freaks. You know, I want everything to be inside my control. I have to admit there's certain things that are outside of my control. If I dwell on those things, right, I'm focusing on something other than what I can control. So again, focus on what you can control. Don't dwell on the things you can't control. Do what you can when you see that there's a conflict. Let's address it head on. And I think the chapter will be better for it. So,
yeah, very good.
Professionally, personally, and business-wise. So thanks so much, Andrew. I appreciate you joining us for this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!